Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
God bless you. Praise the Lord. It's so good to have you with us today. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. We are excited that you would join us for this word today. And we have a number of things that we want to get into as it relates to the word. And we want you to just grab your Bibles. You know what? Tell somebody that there's a message that's going forth. The Word of God is going forth, and God is using the man, the woman of God to minister the gospel to you today. We would like to, first of all, get into our announcements and also into our prayer, and then we want to get into this dynamic word. By the way of announcements, please join us every Tuesday at 7 p.m. for Kingdom Lifestyles with none other than myself, Apostle Christopher McQueen, on Thursdays at 7 p.m. we have Women of Prophetic Destiny with Prophetess Crystal McQueen, and then on Saturday morning at 10:30, join us again for our weekend session or our weekend service. We come to you at 10:30, amen, on Saturday morning for Kingdom Lifestyles on Saturday. We would like for you to go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you will ask the Lord about becoming a vision partner with us. What is a vision partner? A vision partner is one who actually comes in and helps us to meet the goals that have been set forth by the Spirit of God. We have churches and schools and orphanages in Kenya, Uganda, higher learning in Nigeria. We have fellowships in the Philippines and Pakistan and India, and they need your help. On our website, www.ctkr.org, you'll see on the Contact Us page, you'll see Bishop Shiendu Apamo, Bishop Wandera David. Bishop Wandera let me know that there's some work that they need and some equipment that they need, about $1,500 to $2,000, I do believe, they need for sound equipment at their location. They also go out and do outreach within the villages, and they need equipment that can travel with them. So he found a system that will work for what they need, and he said, "Dad, we need you to help us with this. We've already raised about $500. Could you please let the people of God know that we need their help so that they can help us to raise the rest?" And I said, "I will let the people know on the broadcast, amen, that there's a need, and we can go forward with that." Now, I will say this, that when you sow into this ministry, what you sow will go directly to those that you ask it to go to. Amen. God has blessed us that we don't have to take out overhead charges and other things. If you donate a sound system or something along those lines, we still have to pay freight and customs and that to get it from here to there. Sometimes it's just better to go ahead and have them pay for it on their end, and we put the resources out there for them to get it. So with that said, we want you to know that there's needs and there's things that are going forth. Bishop Joel Apamo, he was the reason why I went to Africa in the first place, and that was to install him as the bishop over our churches in Kenya. And he's let me know that the rental plot that they've had, they're going to be moving from there to the land that they purchased, and they need to get 200 sheets of metal so that they can build up the church at the new location. And those of you who actually have been over to Kenya and over to those African countries, you know, when they build up a church, the size of the church is determined by the number of sheets, metal sheets, that they have to have in order to build the church. So he said that we need 200 sheets so that we can build the church at the location that we have purchased. So God is blessing, and there's a need that is there. And we're asking you to come into agreement with us and be a vision partner with us. Amen. We come to you because we know that to do this is right. Amen. If they were over here in the United States, then they may have resources at their disposal, but they're in Africa, and those resources are not there as you would suppose. Amen. You're dealing with several other religious groups and backgrounds and other things, and sometimes even though it takes us a while to do something, we can get it done, but we always need your support. Amen. So my job is to bring it to you. I pray that in your prayer time, as you are seeking the Lord, that he will reveal to you what is needed so that we can actually go forward and be a blessing to those who are laboring in the gospel over in Africa. Amen. Some of you won't go to Africa. For those who do go, you need to help them so that part of their willingness to go and minister is not a struggle. Amen. Now, on our website, www.ctkr, you'll find out more about us. And as I said, we pray that you would click one of those donate buttons and help us to spread this gospel around the world. Continue to move and keep going. We'll be in Maryland this weekend, and we're doing a number of other things. Lord is increasing us, and we have those that we're going after to reach for Jesus Christ. Amen. I know my wife would get on me if I didn't ask you to go to Facebook and like us on Facebook. We have two pages there, one for the ministry, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, the other one for Woman of Prophetic Destiny. And there, if you like those pages, drop us a message. Let us know a testimony. Inbox us your prayer request, whatever it is. If you want us to come and minister, if you would like for us to invite us to event you're having, the Holy Spirit says to sing. We don't mind traveling. As a matter of fact, we love doing so. But let us know, amen, and we'll do everything that we can. It is about kingdom connection and kingdom expansion, amen. Now, with that said, let's get into our prayer. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come before your people. Even now, Lord, we have nothing to say unless you word our mouth. Holy Spirit, speak through me. I decrease now so that you can increase in me. Let them not see Christopher, but let them see the Christ that is on the inside. Now, Lord, the word that you've given me, Lord, you burned and seared it in our hearts. You've woken us up and spoken to us. Lord, even now as I speak, Lord, I speak as an oracle, oh God, as an apostle, one given an assignment. And I go forward to complete it in the name of Jesus. Now, we thank you for every miracle, every sign, every wonder that will occur according to the obedience of the men and women of God to the word of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Today, we want to go into the word and really deal with, we've been dealing with our character and our identity. And I would tell you that the Holy Spirit has put lit a fire up under me. We have too many people who are going out with the name Christian, but they have nothing about them that resembles Christ. And it is hurtful to the body of Christ to be misrepresented in such a manner. The world needs to find and hear and know that there's an answer to their problems, that there's someone who cares and that God cares about them as well. And yet and still, we find that people are going out and it's about me and mine. It's about my personal legacy. What am I leaving? What do people remember me by? Well, I want you to know something, and I was speaking to prophetess about this, and when the Holy Spirit showed this to me and said this to me, it hit me, and I shared it with her. And I want to share it with you right now. The Holy Spirit said something to me. He said these words. He said, "You are successful in your assignment when you are invisible in your assignment." Let me say that again. You are successful in your assignment when you are invisible in your assignment. Now, what are you saying, man of God? What are you saying, apostle? Simply put, when you do it right, people won't see you, but they'll see the purpose behind what you are doing. In other words, if I'm a child of God, sent by God with an assignment, then they shouldn't see me in the assignment. They should see him through the assignment. And that means that I have to decrease so that he can increase. Amen. It is important for us to understand that we are called to holiness and righteousness, and we have been bought with a price. We are not our own. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It was his blood that purchased our salvation. It was his blood that brought us into the family of God. And now here we are. We have so many people who are trying to hold up the banner of me and I. They want you to see them. Amen. They want you to recognize them. Look what I've done. How many years I've gone to school. I got this many degrees, and I built this many buildings, and I got this many fellowships under my belt and under my spiritual covering. Listen, all of that is for naught. Amen. There are some churches that will simply, as apostles, birth out and leave to Timothy's and others to actually mature them and develop them. Amen. And I had to come to grips with that, because coming up, I was shown and taught that in order for me to be effective in ministry, I had to build a monument here to me. Amen. And when the Holy Spirit brought clarity of my assignment, I realized that it's not about me being seen of men, but men seeing Christ through me. So I have to be invisible, amen, to be effective. How can you say that? How can you justify that? You know, listen, in your life, you're a living epistle read of men already, amen. When people see you, before you can say a word, people already know who you are. They already see who you are, amen. So while you're trying to prove to people your level, your worth, God is already allowing them to see who you are and who you represent. Now, vicariously, on the other side of that, people also see where you are. Amen? So, when you have a moment where the flesh prevails, where the spirit should have prevailed, they see that as well. And that's where we get into this misappropriation of spiritual gifts, the grace of God upon our lives and those things. And we have to get back to the reality that God called us to the assignment. You keep hearing me say the assignment, amen. But it's important for you to understand that you're not just saved to be saved. There's a reason for you to be saved. And if God has given you power, and he has, then that power comes with a responsibility, amen. It's not to make you great, grand, or wonderful, but it is to fulfill the purpose of God in the earth. And he chose you for that as a child of his. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter. Amen. Because I want you to see this with your own eyes. Amen. We have a responsibility. Amen. When we start looking at this, 1 Peter 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to the abundant mercies, his abundant mercies, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time. So now, simply put, God chose us in him. Amen. And it was for this point in time. When we go back up to the second verse, he says these words. He says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you be multiplied. Then he goes on to continue to say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. So now then, my assignment, as Jesus said it when he gave to the apostles, the when he spoke to them in Mark, the 16th chapter, 15th verse, amen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel, amen, to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, And that's right there, important, in my name, not in your name, not in your good intention, not what you're trying to do, the purpose behind it. It's in my name. Whose name? The name of Jesus. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Listen to this last one. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. My brothers and sisters, we have put down the assignment. We had so many people who were walking up just doing good things in front of people that no one was doing the right things in front of people. Amen. They weren't demonstrating the power of God. Amen. My wife spoke to me and she was talking about a situation where a man of God had a man come in and he ran around the church and the deacons and the trustees and everyone was trying to corral him. He runs up on the pulpit, is up by the preacher, and the preacher is looking at him saying, I'm just going to keep preaching the gospel. The devil ain't got no power. Well, see, the thing is that when I came up in church, amen, as a young man, if there was a situation like that, the man of God would rebuke the devil, amen, and subdue the atmosphere, amen. Now, when you have gone to school and you have learned how to put together your opening and your accolades and everything, and you get all that together, and then you begin to build your case, and you make your first, your second, your third point, and then on your third point, you build into that your ascent, which is your two or three other points, and then you bring that to a conclusion, and you close it out, and you open up the doors of the church, or you do your altar call to tell people to come in. You have done a wonderful thing by the book. But what happens, huh, when you can't go by the book? And you actually have to roll up your sleeves and deal with the authority that was delegated to you by Jesus Christ. Amen. And these signs will follow them that believe. What we become is academic Christians, but we have no active power. Amen. So if I'm an academic Christian, I can quote the scripture to you. But when I'm an active Christian, then you'll find out that whenever I begin to walk in, I'm approached by a demon or a demonic force or anything that the enemy throws at me, I know that my strength lies not in my ability to put my fist up, but to hit my knees, but to speak into the atmosphere, but to release a praise, release worship, whatever it is, whatever I have to do to shift the atmosphere and bring the Lord into my environment so that he will move on my behalf, I know that I actively have to live this life. That means I can't be saved on Sunday, but Sunday afternoon leaving the church, see a sister wearing a short skirt or a tight skirt or dress that is revealing and follow her so I can talk to her a little bit on the way to the car. No, that I can't be one of those who was at the club all night and drank up all week long and doing all other kind of things and by visitation was just making my rounds, but it really wasn't ministering nothing about Christ. See, we got to get out of this form of godliness that looks right, being done right in the name of religion, and get back to relationship. Because if I'm doing it right, then I need to go into all the world. That's why I spent the amount of time at the beginning of this broadcast talking to you about what is needed in Africa. Amen. Because when we go into all the world, we will see that there is need in the world. Amen. And I can't go out there and try to meet it based on what I'm trying to do. I have to go out there and let you, my brothers and sisters, know that this is what God wants from us, for us, amen, and do what it is that is required. See, it is easy for us to sit in our churches with our air condition and get our fans on and everything else. The praise team gets up and ministers, and we take some time to worship skilled musicians that play it in and play it out, and we just flow, and it's so polished and wonderful, and it looks so excellent in our eyes, and ooh, we want to be a part of this and tell everybody, I'll go over to this church, I'll go over to that church. And we had 1,000 people, 2,000, 5,000 people. Well, I go to a 20,000 people church and I'm on this board and I'm on that. Okay, well, listen, all of that stuff is good, but after all is said and done, can you actually do the work? Or are you just a member, one of many? Amen. Bishop T.D. Jakes said something very interesting. He said, weekly we have about 1,500 that will join and 1,500 that will leave from our ministry. He said, some of y'all couldn't stand to know that 1,500 people left your ministry this week alone. He says, but when you are operating at 20,000 or so, you have to expect those type of things. Amen. There are some people who come in expecting, because they can put on the resume that I belong to the Potter's house, that it gives them some type of credibility. And see, the problem is that they never became connected to the Potter's house. They never became connected to the vision of the house. They just came in the house to get the name of the house, and off they go to be whoever they are. But they're really not part of us. Amen. So they're coming in, getting a name on the roll, and walking out the door. See, many of your churches would fail at this point because you couldn't wrap your head around 1,500 people leaving a week. But guess what? When you understand your assignment, you recognize that they're going to come and they're going to go. But the gospel of Jesus Christ has to remain the same. My brothers and sisters, I've learned that whether I'm preaching to 350, 300, 3,000, 30,000, whatever it is, a million people or a broadcast or whatever it is, whatever the reaching capabilities and capacity of whatever medium we disseminate this gospel with, I learned that regardless of how many people were here, to keep the message the same. Amen. It's not swayed by who gives and how much they give or if they gave at all. It is the word of God, and we have to go forward and deal with that word. Amen. My strength comes in being obedient to the assignment. What assignment? Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and make sure that these signs follow them that believe. Let them know that it is their right to have these signs operating in their life, casting out devils. Yes, you as a child of God have authority over satanic and demonic forces. Amen. Nothing that you are doing yourself. There's no goodness of your own, but it's by the grace of God. When you speak, he doesn't see you. He sees the authority back in the words that you're speaking. So when you say, get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus, that right there becomes the badge that allows you to make the arrest of this demonic forces and cause a liberty to come forth. Amen. So speak with new tongues. That means if I was cussing everybody out and all that came out of my mouth was doom and despair, then I begin to bless people and always have the gospel a peace in my mouth. Amen. You need to have a new tongue. If you got saved and everything that you spoke before you got saved sounds like everything you speaking now, go back and get saved again. Amen. Well, that doesn't seem right, man of God. Listen. When you do it right, then you'll understand when there's a shift. Amen. When there's a change. Amen. I wish I had time, and maybe I might take time to go into it, but you really need to look at in Samuel, the First Samuel, the 15th chapter, 16th chapter. You'll see that there's some things that have gone on with Samuel and Saul, amen, when he went to go look for the sheep, Kish, his father, when he went to go look for the sheep. Amen. Let's get into this right. It's 1 Samuel, the 9th chapter. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 1 Samuel, the 9th chapter. Kish, a Benjamite, is his sheep or his donkeys get lost. Amen. So he sends his son Saul and a servant after them to go find them. And I want you to know, I'll say this to you. I said it to Prophetess, and you have to understand that while I spoke to her, the Holy Spirit said something that was very simple to me. He just revealed to me something that you probably need to hear. And simply is that when God plans something, then God is in charge of that something. And although people will come in with their form and fashion, after all is said and done, God is still in charge. Amen. God is still in control. Amen. So we see in 1 Samuel 9 where the Lord speaks to Samuel concerning Saul. We see Saul come in and he begins to deal with him. Amen. And we see that in 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter, we begin to see how Saul was changed from who he was into God, who God called him to be. Amen. Amen. So let's look at this. We see that, let's go to 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter. Okay, let's start the first verse. It says, "Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, the donkeys which you have went to look for have been found. And now your father ceased caring about the donkeys and is worried about you, saying, what shall I do about my son?' And if you follow all this down, as you read, you'll find out that Samuel is telling Saul everything that will happen to him when he leaves him. Amen. And he tells him how he will be changed. Amen. Huh? So the man of God spoke to him, and I'm going to take this apart at a later time, so I'm just hitting on it now. Amen. You drop down to 1 Samuel 10 and 9. It says, "So it was when he had turned his back to go from Saul that God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day." Amen. Now, let me go back to what we're talking about here. When you become saved, then you get a new life, amen, a new lease on life, amen, and you begin to have a new tongue. But not only a new tongue, a new perception, a new outlook, amen. So when you begin to go forward to do the assignment that God called you to, the one that he ultimately gave us at the Great Commission, amen, you'll be able to do so not bearing up yourself, but bearing him up, amen. So Saul right here demonstrates what happens when you heed in obedience the word of God and the will of God for your life. That is that as you go from that point towards your destiny, your heart will be changed. Amen. And what's interesting is that as he was going, he was dealing with everything as he said. Amen. He came to the men. He began to prophesy. Amen. They began to look at him and say, "Is this not Kish's sons? Huh?" And how did he come to be a prophet now? And that's what happens when God begins to deal with people. Amen. He begins to deal with you before people. There are people who are always going to remember who you were. And then there's people who God sent you into their lives so they can see who you are. Amen. And understand what I'm saying here. You did that when you was 8, 9 years old, 10, 15, 12, amen, 16, 18, 20 years old, you were doing all that craziness. Guess what? You got saved, God straightened out your life, you got your head on straight, you got your focus right, you're moving forward, and you'll meet people who remember you when you were 8, 9, 10, 12, 15, 16, 18, 20 years old. Amen. Don't go back to be who they expect you to be. Continue being who you are. Because the people you meet from this point on need you to be who he's changing you into. Amen. We understand that in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, we see these words. Start at the first verse. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world. Listen to this, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. So now, as we begin to deal with this, we understand that God is making us into something and turning and changing us into something. We're not conforming to this world, but we're being transformed in our mind. And when we go into Romans, the 8th chapter, then we begin to see these words here, where it speaks of us, actually, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Where it speaks of us when you go down to the 20, let's look at it, the 26, amen, thank you, Lord. Waiting for my software to catch up with me, amen. Yeah, let's go to the 26th verse, 8 and 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. So let me say something right here. When you're being conformed from the world and transformed in the renewing of your mind, you still have the desires that you always had, but you have a changing of the guards, if you will. What used to govern you and used to carry you along and keep you controlled by your vices now becomes secondary, amen. Your existence becomes one that is focus on Christ and focus on the things of God, and you want to go forward to do the things of God. That's what you're really focused on, amen. And when you're focused on those things, then you begin to modify your lifestyle so that you mirror those who belong to Christ. Amen. You begin to look like your assignment. You begin to look like your inheritance. You begin to look like the child who is an heir to the throne, heir to the royalty and the things of God. Amen. Huh? You look for your crown. You look for ways to validate who God made you to be or who he called you to be. Amen. So you're not just existing. You go from existing to living. Because now I don't just exist. I live with a purpose. Amen. There's a reason why I do what I do. There's a reason why I press forward. There's a reason why I study and I seek to know the will of God. Because I understand that knowing this will help me. Amen. Huh? And in my weaknesses, the Spirit steps in to help me. Even in my prayers, he'll make sure I pray right. Look what it says. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. because he makes intercession for the saints. Listen to this. According to the will of God. In other words, the Spirit don't pray off. He's not praying off focus, and he's not praying off assignment, but he will pray according to the will of God. Amen. And when we see that, then that means that the Holy Spirit is not going to turn around and give you your heart's desire if it's not God's desire for you. Amen. So when your heart speaks louder than your love for God, then we know that there's a problem there. Amen. Look what it says here in 1 John 5:14. It says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Amen. Why is my prayer not going anywhere? Why am I not productive? Why do I not see what I need to see as I'm praying and laying before God? It's because you're asking things that are not according to the will of God. And my brother and sister, we're not put on this earth so we can talk and make everybody see how spiritual and powerful we are in God, so that they cowtail to us and bow down to us. Amen. And You know, I'm not here to be a ruler in your face so you can see me and shudder at my coming. Amen. You need to have awe and reverence for the God in me. Amen. Huh? I'm a vessel. After I die, there'll be another. Amen. Who will still be a vessel. Amen. We have to understand that so we stop walking around acting like we the end all of all. Amen. Because before you got here, the gospel was preached. After you gone, the gospel will be preached. Amen. God is not short on people to speak the gospel. And you should count yourself worthy if he gave you an opportunity to preach this gospel. Look what it says here. It says that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So that means that I can't just be out here asking what I want. I have to ask him. I have to ask according to the will of God. Amen. And it goes on and says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew. Now we're getting back into it. Who he foreknew, God knew you before. He predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So if I'm being conformed to the image of his son and transformed in my mind, then the thing that keeps coming back into focus is the will of God. Amen. And I have to understand that the will of God is not something that will placate my personal desires, but it will always satisfy the cause or the existence of my life. Amen. In other words, I'll find my satisfaction in the will of God. This is the place where I can breathe and just let my hair down and know that I'm going to make it regardless. Amen. It's not that I have to go out and make great amounts of money doing this. It's that I have to be in the will of God. God will cause people to take care and do things for you because he'll put favor over your life. Amen. And you'll find out that as you're going forward, that the favor of God, amen, will carry you through some things that money couldn't buy. There's some things that will happen in your life that you can't pay for. You don't know the right connection. You don't know the right people. But when you have God, when you are in your assignment, when you are in your place, God will cause people to seek you out. Amen. And when they seek you out, God will make sure that the word that you give will be reciprocated with the needs that you need. Amen. In other words, he'll never leave you nor forsake you, but he'll never leave you stuck and forsaken. Amen. So if all of this is going on and we're being conformed to the image of a son, listen, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Moreover, who he predestined, these he also called. And you heard me say this last week. I said, many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. The difference between the called and the chosen is that the clarion call goes out. but only those who answer the call can have the moniker chosen on them. Amen. Because there's a lot of calling that has gone out, but there hasn't been a lot of answering. See, people are saying, I got some things in my life I'm trying to get together before I come to Christ. But listen, you know, it's foolish to take a shower to take a bath. Amen. So if he's going to clean you up, just let him do it. You're going to miss some spots that he ain't going to miss. Amen. Huh? And you can't never clean yourself to the level that he's going to clean you. So get out the way and let him do the work. He knows exactly what to use. In other words, he knows what kind of soap he needs to use on your mess. Amen. And let me just say it like this. The blood still works. Amen. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. If he called you, answer the call. Whom he called, these he also justified. That means that no matter what your past was, where you were, you're justified when you come into alignment with the will of God for your life. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. And I said it before, if you're going to get to your glorification, you must go through your crucifixion. Amen. We want the glory, but we don't want the problem. Amen. So we do everything that we can in order to get the glory, but none of the things that we need to do in order to qualify being glorified. Amen. So let me get the glory, but I don't want no cross. I shared with you that Simon carried the cross for Jesus, but when he got to the point where he had to get on the cross, Simon could do no more for him. Amen. And the same thing with you. Mama carried you. Your pastor carried you. Auntie and everybody else carried you. Now it's time for you to deal with the reality of your cross. Carry your own cross, amen. And even if somebody carried it for you, helping you in your weakness, you still yourself got to get up on your own cross, amen. It is something that has to be done, and there's no other way around it, amen. So then, what do we need to do here? What do we need to do here? Well, you spoke, Apostle, of being conformed. Yes, being conformed. Now we can get back to where we started and begin to deal with that, amen. Conform. My life is conformed, amen. I'm conformed to the image of his dear son, amen. I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. I understand my assignment, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and demonstrate the power of the name of Jesus by demonstrating the power of the kingdom of God. Yeah, in my name, huh? They will cast out devils, amen. Speak with new tongues, you see that? We're going to lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. And if we pick up or drink any deadly thing, that means that if the enemy tries to come in to destroy you, God will sustain you. Amen? Huh? So now we understand that all of these things were done for us. Amen? Because we are the elect. 1 Peter 1 and 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit. That means that the Spirit's job is to get us sanctified. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by God, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. You see that? Romans 1 and 5 is simple. It says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. In other words, everything that's going on for you or through you or to you, all of this is being done so that God can get the glory out of every situation in your life. Amen. When you think that this is really about you, then you've forgotten that it was never about you. It was always about the plan of God. Amen. And he chose you, elect, chosen, amen, for this very thing. Amen. Huh? You see that? Ephesians 1 and 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He knew us. Huh? 1 Peter 20, Romans, let's make that Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And we read that one before. Amen. I just want you to see this because as we go forward, it is so easy for us to get sidetracked. Amen. So God is trying to get us to see it and understand it, what is really important. Amen. Look what it says here. Let's drop down to 1 Peter 1 and 6. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. How do I know I'm conformed to the image of his dear son? You can pass a test. Though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory, be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Whom you have, having not seen, you love. Why do I go through all this? Because I love him. Amen. Why I allow people to lie and say stuff on me? Because I understand I love him. Amen. Huh? I'll say this. I went through a situation, and even this week I was sharing with somebody, and they was trying to make a point by saying, if it had been me, you know, I would have did this, or I would have did that. And I said, well, that would have been you, but that was not my purpose. And since that wasn't my purpose, that could not be my choice. Amen. When God begins to tell you what he's doing and how he's going to do it, if you are his, then you have two choices. And one of them is simply, yes, Lord, or I don't know about all that. And after you say, I don't know about all that, you go around in a circle and you still come back to the same test. Because what God wants, God is going to get. Amen. How he designed it, it is going to come to pass. Amen. So it's better for you to submit and go through it, and he will bring you through it, and you get the benefits of the experience and what he's trying to birth in you or root up out of you, or you can fight it, and it's still going to be birthed and rooted. Huh? You know, how they say it's going to happen one way or the other. We can do this nice, or we can do it not so nice. Amen. And for those of you who are in ministry today, who have ran from your calling like I did, we understand that there are two ways. Amen. I encourage you to say yes and just go with that. Amen. Amen. It says, though you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In other words, keep your faith. What is my faith then? It's not in the cars, houses, anything else, but it is in the salvation of my soul. Understanding that I have been called to be conformed to the image of Christ. Live the life. Preach the gospel. Do the work. Amen? Huh? And as we're doing that, then God will make sure that we're taken care of. Amen? See, if we drop down to the 13th verse, we'll see that we have a responsibility to live properly before God. That's what all this comes down to. Why do I gotta change? Why do I have to conform? Because the life you're living before God. You represent him, and you have to make sure that at every chance that you have, that you can witness Christ. You know, can you witness Christ after you cut some people out? Tell them folk off. No, not really, you can't. because people will remember that you were the person who just cussed somebody out, telling folk off. Amen. So you have to live your life before God. I say when we dismiss in-house, I pray a prayer and I say, Lord, help us to remember that we leave from a location but never from your presence. Help us to remember that so our behavior will mirror those who belong to you and those who bear your name in the earth. And you, my brother and sister, have to remember the same thing. Our image, our identity is tied to God. Now, does that mean that you can't have your own flair? No, it doesn't mean that. It means that while you have your own flair, you always understand that God is the focal point of your actions. People see you when they look at you. They see you, but they should see the Christ in you. We represent a higher power. Our behavior has to be on the higher level. Amen? And as we begin to deal with that, then we'll begin to look at what is true, what is right, what is perfect before God. Therefore, 13th verse, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Listen, we're called to holiness, and we're called to look like him. We're called to live our lives just like Jesus. And I pray that you would take this time and make that choice yourself to be just like Jesus. You're my brother and you're my sister. And I pray that you would take this time to take that to heart. Now, maybe you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about. Maybe this is foreign to you. Maybe I heard about it, but I've seen people living, you know, these different lives, and the life that they live really don't look like him at all. And so I've been reluctant to make a commitment because I want to be real. I don't want to be fake like I see fake when people are saying that they're Christians. So I haven't attached to the body of Christ. I want to tell you that you got to live your life according to your own soul salvation. The Bible lets us know that we all have to work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Recognize and realizing this one thing, there is no other way to get to God, the Father, other than coming through the Son. Buddha can't help you. You can't meditate. There's no Hindu practice. There's nothing else out there that will bring you peace with God. There's only one way to get to him, and that's through Jesus Christ, accepting the blood of his Son. Jesus Christ became the sacrifice for our sins. Amen. And you can accept that for yourself. It's a gift already paid for, and it's offered to you. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, first of all, for anyone who's not saved. I pray, Lord, that they will pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that Jesus raised, that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, if they prayed this prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church, so that they can be matured and developed in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray right now for those who are saved, Lord, those who are going through. They need miracles, they need signs, they need wonders. I pray for a healing and deliverance right now. Oh God, for you to make a way out of no way, Lord. I know that there's resources and funding that's coming right now because that is your will. As we focus on expanding the kingdom and doing the work that you've given us to do, Lord, we say yes to your will, your way, and we thank you for every miracle, sign, and wonder that will manifest. Help us to be a greater witness of you in the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen, and this is Kingdom Lifestyles. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.